Welcome to Good News in the Morning, a program of words and music, bringing a Christian message of hope and encouragement to those who are looking for an intelligent, meaningful, and spirited approach to faith and to life.
Today, I choose to follow you. Today, I choose to give my yes to you. Today, I choose to hear your voice and live. Today, I choose to follow you.
Good morning and welcome to Good News in the Morning. My name is Brent Russett. I'm the senior pastor at Sunnyside Wesleyan Church, and it is my pleasure to look at some of life's challenges and to bring you some good news in the morning. This program is brought to you by Good News Christian Ministries. You can find Good News in the Morning on the internet at goodnewsinthemorning.ca. There you can hear past episodes and you can find some interesting articles. This morning I want to talk to you about a way in the wilderness. I've been doing a lot of reading in the Old Testament book of Isaiah. This morning I'm going to take you into Isaiah chapter 35, but before we get there, I want to take you to the Gospel of Mark. It's one of the first four books of the New Testament that tells the story of Jesus' life. One of the things about the Gospel of Mark that you may not know is that the locations in the Gospel of Mark matter. They matter on a theological level, where something is said tells us something about what is being said. So we're going to start by reading the first chapter of the first book of Mark. This is the gospel about Jesus the Messiah, the Son of God. It began just as the prophet Isaiah had written. Look, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, and he will prepare your way. He is a voice shouting in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord's coming. Clear the road for him. This messenger was John the Baptist. He was in the wilderness and preached that the people should be baptized to show that they had repented from their sins and turned to God to be forgiven. So Mark starts off his book saying, I want to tell you the good news about Jesus. But what's the setting, the story we find ourselves in? It's in the wilderness. The book of Mark starts out by quoting Isaiah chapter 40 about there's a voice crying out in the wilderness. And then we find John the Baptist, the one who is the forerunner of Jesus, introducing Jesus in the wilderness. In fact, Jesus goes out into the wilderness to see John. He's baptized by John in the Jordan River. And then he himself goes further into the wilderness to be tempted by Satan for 40 days. Remember in Mark, the setting is where something happens, tells us about what is going on. Jesus, who we as Christians believe is God, comes to earth. He chooses to start his earthly ministry and to meet humanity in the wilderness. The reason? The wilderness is a telling metaphor to illustrate what sin has done to our souls. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death. There is life in the wilderness, but not much of it. It doesn't tend to be a place where things flourish. I've been in the wilderness in Israel, and it's really barren. Vegetation is sparse, water is sparse, it's inhospitable. You get the feeling that humans were not meant to live there. Jesus chose to meet us in the wilderness. He came and said, I've come that you might have life and have it to the full. He said, I will forgive your sins. I will take the toxicity from your heart and I will that stops things from growing. In fact, I'll give you a new heart and a place where things really flourish. But there is a condition for him to do that. You need to turn over the driver's wheel of your life to him. Jesus says, if you come to me and give me your life, I will meet you in the wilderness of your heart, and I will make it live. If you're listening and you've never given your life to Jesus, if you've never given him the wheel of your life, I'd urge you to do that even today. Pray a prayer something like, Lord, I give you my life. Take over the driver's wheel of my life. Forgive me of my sin. Take my sin away and give me your life. A prayer like that is a great way to start your journey with Jesus. Well, I'm going to continue to talk about the wilderness, but before we do that, I'm going to invite you to listen with me to Brian Dirksen, Change Me on the Inside.
I want to be more like you. time I try to bring about change, I only touch the visible me. There's only one way I'm really gonna change.
What a great prayer. Change me on the inside. Sometimes change doesn't come easy. Sometimes the only place that God can teach us is in the wilderness. In the scripture, the metaphor of the wilderness is used in another way. It's used to talk about dry times on the spiritual journey. In the second book of the Bible, the book of Exodus, we find that the Hebrew people had been slaves in Egypt for 400 years. God, by the power of his mighty hand, brought them out of Egypt. He led them into the wilderness. And now the journey from Egypt to the promised land should only take about 40 days. It took the people of Israel 3 years to complete that journey. The reason was God needed time to teach his people about himself. It was in the wilderness that they saw the provision of God. It was in the wilderness that they received the law of God, the Ten Commandments. It was in the wilderness that they witnessed the glory of God. It was in the wilderness that they experienced the leading of God. It was in the wilderness that God taught his people about himself. and about his relationship with them. Fast forward into the era of the church. I don't know of any substantial Christian who has not gone through a wilderness experience. One person put the wilderness experience this way. Scripture often depicts the experience of God's presence or blessing with the imagery of water, streams, oases, and rivers. Conversely, it describes times of distress, doubt, and alienation from God with the imagery of a desert or wilderness. The wilderness is where the water is scarce, where a traveler walks alone in the heat and the cold without shade or protection, and where wild animals live. In a spiritual wilderness, God feels far away, distant, absent, unresponsive. Faith feels doubtful or uncertain. We feel alone, vulnerable, lost, and unprotected. There is a fear of hopelessness and the unknown, and it's the place where Satan resides. It can take the form of depression or a crisis of faith or one or more traumatic events of which the list is endless. It's not a joyful time. It's not a time when we feel alone, deserted, and dying of thirst in the middle of a debilitating spiritual drought. A true saint goes through a wilderness experience in their life, some more than others. Now, that experience I've found can last for weeks, months, sometimes years. But here's what I want you to know. If God leads you out into the wilderness, he's going to teach you. The only reason he takes you there is that there is something that you can learn there that you cannot learn anywhere else. I know that the wilderness experiences in my life have forced a change of faith. The typical pat answers of Christendom don't work for me. God has taught me about himself and about myself in the wilderness. I heard one guy speak and said he loves it when Jesus leads him into the wilderness because he knows he's moving into a new season in his life. I'm not there yet, where I love the wilderness. Maybe that is why Isaiah 35 speaks so deeply into my life. Maybe you can hear it for your life as well. Here's the words from Isaiah 35. Even the wilderness and desert will be glad in those days. The wasteland will rejoice and blossom with spring crocuses. Yes, there will be an abundance of flowers and singing and joy. The deserts will become as green as the mountains of Lebanon, as lovely as Mount Carmel, as the plain of Sharon. There the Lord will display his glory, the splendor of the Lord. With this news, strengthen those who have tired hands and encourage those who have weak knees. Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong and do not fear, for your God is coming to destroy your enemies. He is coming to save you. And when he comes, he will open the eyes of the blind and unplug the ears of the deaf. The lame will leap like a deer, and those who cannot speak will sing for joy. Springs will gush forth in the wilderness, and streams will water the wasteland. The parched ground will become a pool, and springs of water will satisfy the thirsty land. Marsh grass and reeds and rushes will flourish where desert jackals once lived. And a great road will go through the once deserted land. It will be named the Highway of Holiness. Evil-minded people will never travel on it. It will be only for those who walk in God's ways. Fools will never walk there. Lions will not lurk along its course, nor any other ferocious beast. There will be no other dangers. Only the redeemed will walk on it. Those who have been ransomed by the Lord will return. They will enter into Jerusalem singing, crowned with everlasting joy. Sorrow and mourning will disappear, and they will be filled with joy and gladness. I want to say to those of you whose life has become a dearth of joy, and to speak to those of you who feel like it's been a long time since you've seen the glory of the Lord, your God will come. I want to encourage those of you who are tired and wonder how much further you can go. Your God will come. I want you to hear the words of Scripture, those of you who have hearts full of fear. The Scripture says, be strong and do not fear, for your God is coming to destroy your enemies. He is coming to save you. I know that some of you are feeling parched, spiritually parched. I want you to know that it is God's way to meet you in the wilderness and to bring water. Now, to get the imagery of the highway through the wilderness, you need to understand that the Jerusalem was where the temple was, and the temple was where God was. You went to the temple to meet with God. But to those on the backside of the wilderness, it felt impossible to get to God. There were bandits who would beat you and rob you. There were lions and other beasts who could attack you. There were dangers on every side. How could you get to God? And some of you who are in the midst of the wilderness understand. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 says, "Stay alert. Watch for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. And you felt him nipping at your heels and tearing at your heart. And some of you are licking your wounds and wondering, how do I get to God?" There are some of you who have people around you who are constantly sowing seeds of doubt and stealing faith, and they seduce you to what is not good. Hear the word of the Lord. Isaiah 35:8, "And a great road will go through that once deserted land. It will be named the Highway of Holiness. Evil-minded people will never travel on it. It will only be for those who walk in God's ways. Fools will never walk there. Lions will not lurk along its course, nor any other ferocious beast. There will be no other dangers. Only the redeemed will walk on it. Those who have been ransomed by the Lord will return. They will enter into Jerusalem singing, crowned with everlasting joy. Sorrow and mourning will disappear, and they will be filled with joy and gladness. The Lord is coming." So what do you do when you find yourself in the wilderness? Well, one of the best things you can do is recognize it for what it is. You probably didn't ask for it. You probably don't want to be where you are, but it's helpful to recognize where you are. There are some people who think Christians should be happy all the time, but that's not the case. Own what is. Don't deny where you are, what you're feeling, and don't try to distract yourself from it. You know, we have television, we have Netflix, we have YouTube, we have novels, and a whole lot of other distractions that can be wonderful, but they can take us into worlds where we don't live, which is all right in small doses. But many immerse themselves in those other worlds to distract themselves from where they are. And when they do that, they miss what God wants to do. So the first step is to recognize where you are. And wherever you are, be all there. The second step is to remember that God has a purpose for the wilderness. Remember I told you that the people of God who came out of Egypt, it was in the wilderness that they saw the provision of God. It was in the wilderness that they received the law of God. It was in the wilderness that they witnessed the glory of God. It was in the wilderness that they experienced the leading of God. It was in the wilderness that God taught his people about himself and themselves. But it was in the wilderness that they complained that while God provided food for them, it felt bland. They complained that while God was leading them, they sometimes didn't have what they need to the very last minute. They sometimes felt abandoned by God, and they turned to false gods. They turned to idols. They made a golden calf and started to worship it and said, "The calf is what brought us out of the land of Egypt." And that didn't help them to get out of the wilderness. In fact, doing those things made their stay in the wilderness much more miserable. And then When God led them to the edge of the wilderness and said, "I'm willing to take you out, but you're going to have to trust me. You're going to have to trust me with some major things." They wouldn't trust him. And so they were stuck in the wilderness longer than they needed to be. You see, it is not your job to transform the wilderness. That's God's job. Your job is to let God do what he wants to do in you. Your job is to let go of the idols around you. Sometimes it's easy to set up idols in the wilderness because we want to distract ourselves. We think, well, if we can just be superstitious, that'll get us out from under the burden we're carrying. Your job is to get rid of the idols and turn to God. Your job is to go where God wants you to go. It's God's job to transform the wilderness. One of the keys to surviving the desert is not to focus on the desert. Whenever you focus on what you don't have, the desert grows harsher and God grows smaller. Whenever you focus on your fears and your doubts and your worries and your dryness, the desert grows bigger. But whenever you focus on God, then you will find that the power of God is sufficient to meet the needs even in the desert. And you will find that when you focus on God, the power of the desert weakens. I remember a time when I was in the wilderness, and it felt like God had abandoned me. It made no sense to me. I had no sense of Him. I would read the Bible and nothing would happen. Nothing would pop. I would pray and it felt like I was talking to myself or talking to the ceiling. So it's easy to say, well, focus on God. But when it feels like God is absent, how do you do that? Well, a wise person once told me, never doubt in the darkness what you've learned in the light. So the Psalms became my friend because they would express God's heart for me. The hymn book became my friend because many of those hymns expressed the truth about God. And while my emotions were in a desert place, I chose to make declarations of faith about who God was. And God saw me through. And it was in the wilderness that God taught me about grace, His unearned favor. It wasn't about my goodness, but it was about His grace. It was in the desert that God taught me that it wasn't about my performance. It was about His favor. It was in the desert that God taught me about faith. I can trust Him with my stuff. I don't know what God wants to teach you in your wilderness, but I know that God has a plan and a purpose for your life, and He has you where you are so He can teach you about what He wants you to be, and He can teach you about Himself. And there's no other place than where you are right now where you could learn about life in God. I'm confident of the fact that Jesus came to give us life. I'm comforted by the fact that Jesus' ministry was announced in the wilderness. John the Baptist introduced Jesus to the world in the wilderness. And Jesus went out into the wilderness and He wrestled with Satan. And so He's been there before you. And I'm confident that you can start to walk towards Jesus and you can start to find Him in the wilderness. And He's going to come to you and meet you exactly where you are. Your God will come. So what I want you to know is that Jesus wants to meet you where you're at. So today, if you're in the wilderness, acknowledge it. Recognize it for what it is. Lord Jesus, I'm in the wilderness. I don't want to be here, but I'm here. And so I'm going to listen for Your voice. I'm going to choose to obey You even when it seems that You're absent. When my spirit is shriveled and my soul doesn't feel good and I know that I'm unhealthy spiritually, Lord, I'm looking for You. Recognize that it's not Your job to transform the desert, but it is Your job to let God transform you. And take heart in this. Isaiah 35. The parched ground will become a pool, and springs of water will satisfy the thirsty land. Marsh grasses and reeds and rushes will flourish, and where the desert jackals once lived, and a great road will run through it that was once a deserted land. It will be named the Highway of Holiness. There is a road coming to you. God's on that road. He's building that road. It's called the Highway of Holiness. Let me pray for you. Lord, I thank You for the people who You know, and they're walking through a wilderness. And Lord, the road is rough and it's hard and it's tough going. And their soul feels parched and they feel thirsty. I'm praying, Lord, that You would meet them right where they're at. Lord, I pray that You would allow faith even to arise right now, that their God will come. I'm praying, Lord, that You would do some amazing things in their life. And so, Lord, I ask that You would bless them. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, it is a pleasure to spend the morning with you this morning. Thank you for your words of encouragement, and we appreciate you keeping us in your prayers. Keeping this program on the air continues to be a work of faith, and if you can help with that, we would appreciate it. You can make a donation online by going to goodnewsinthemorning.ca, or you can send a check to Good News in the Morning, Box 184, Rideau Ferry, Ontario, KOG1WO. If Good News in the Morning has been a factor in your journey of faith, we would love to hear your story. Nothing could encourage us more in the work. So contact us by email or Twitter or via the website. My prayer for you is, may you know Jesus Christ personally and profoundly. May the Holy Spirit reside deep within your heart, and may our Heavenly Father surround you with his constant and abiding and accompanying love. We're going to see this program out today by listening to Petra. There is the road to Zion.
To life, the few that find it never die. Past mountain peaks, graced white with snow, the way grows brighter as it goes. There is a road inside of you, inside of me, there is one too. No stumbling to Zion's in your heart, the road to Zion's in your heart. The river runs beside the road, its waters living as they flow. In liquid voice, the water calls on thirsty knees appeal. Falls. There is a road inside of you, inside of me, there is one too. No stumbling pilgrim in the dark, the road to Zion's in your heart, the road to Zion's. A shadow, dark and cold, lays like a mist across the road. But be encouraged by the sight, where there's a shadow, there's a light. There is a road inside of you, inside of me, there is one too. No stumbling pilgrim in the dark, the road to Zion's in your heart, the road to Zion's in your heart. Sometimes it's good back down, we've come so far, we've gained such ground. But joy is not in where we've been, joy is who's waiting at the end. There is a road inside of you, inside of me, there is one too. No stumbling pilgrim in the dark, the road to Zion's in your heart. No stumbling pilgrim in the dark, the road to Zion's in your heart, the road to Zion's in your heart, the road to Zion's in your heart.
Good News in the Morning is produced in the studios of News Talk Radio 580.